environmentalists and a group of public health experts pushed DEC Commissioner Joe Martins to agree to impanel some experts to review the potential public health impacts of fracking, which the DEC is currently studying. In September, Martins agreed to do that. But it turns out that he really only got around, the DEC only got around to impaneling those experts this past week. This is problematic because there is a sort of regulatory deadline coming up just 2 weeks, November 29th, a week from Thanksgiving. If the DEC has not acted on its environmental review by then, if it has not adopted its study, then they may have to start all over again. They may have to reopen the review to public comment, which means another timeline, a long delay.
And that delay being caused by the fact that they need to go back and start the studies about the whole process all over again, what fracking is, what it means.
Yeah, very possibly they might have to do that. And so here's the thing. They've just impaneled these experts to make this review. And I think if they manage somehow to complete this in a week and a half, both environmentalists and the public health experts who asked for this review are going to say, wait, 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 no, you're just rushing to meet the deadline. You didn't do a real review. If for one reason or another that November 29th deadline should pass and they have not finished the review and they do not reopen the study to public comment as the regulations would require, well, then environmentalists and public health experts are going to be angry about that, too. Anti-fracking groups are going to say, hey, listen, them's the rules. You didn't finish it on time. You got to start again. The debate about fracking politically is really taking place in the Senate. In the Assembly, which is controlled by Democrats, it's pretty firmly opposed. Not everybody, not all Democrats, but many are opposed to opening New York State to this practice, this very controversial practice. And there are a number of Democrats in the Assembly who are, I think, working in opposition to fracking in quiet ways by implementing delays like this or pushing things so that they don't get done in time or putting up regulations that will protect public health and the environment from fracking, but which pro-fracking industry people say make it impossible for them to make a profit doing this. That's how they're going about opposing it rather than sort of waving the green flag and saying, ban fracking now. They're just sort of trying to ounce by ounce.
Quietly undermining the movement.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, is it mandated that the DEC have established this panel to review the public effects?
They don't really have to do it, but they agreed to do it. And so they're not going to back off on it now.
What was the delay in them getting this panel put together?
Who knows?
You brought up the Democrats. Interesting how the Democrats in this latest election, there wasn't a coalescence like I think many of them would have hoped in the party. It's been a fractured party locally for a long time.
Well, not in Erie County, right? I mean, it was a very, very good night nationally for Democrats.
True.
And rarely, if ever, can it be said that national Democrats had a great night and Erie County Democrats had a lousy one.
Right.
But that's what happened here. The three sort of marquee races, the three really contested races where Democrats sort of poured their energies, Democrats lost. Kathy Hochul, she came very close, surprisingly close. That's the most consolation Democrats can take in election night was Kathy Hochul's performance. But that's, you know, that really just stings all the more how close it was. Mike Amodeo, a Democrat, lost to Republican incumbent Mark Grisanti. Amodeo had a lot working against him. Grisanti had the tacit support of the governor.
And he was a one-time Democrat.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then, of course, there's David Schenck, the comptroller, who was named to fill the vacancy left by Mark Poloncarz when he was elected to county executive. He was handpicked by Poloncarz and the former county chairman, Len Lenihan. And one of the arguments made for him was, here's a guy who can hold on to the seat. Well, that was clearly a bad argument. Nobody had ever heard of him. He's a nice enough guy, but he was not a great campaigner. He did not bring the Conservative Party endorsement as he promised he would when he was interviewed for the job. Instead, that endorsement went to his Republican opponent and the eventual victor, Stefan Mihailu, a former TV news reporter with really no relevant experience for the job. He's a good guy, very good campaigner, but really not qualified to be county comptroller. This is a really poor performance for Democrats in a county where they have an enrollment advantage. I may have the numbers a little bit wrong here, but I think countywide, the Obama-Biden ticket got about 205,000 votes. And I think David Schenkel only managed to pull, let's say, 170,000.
So they weren't voting down party line.
No, either that many Democrats either couldn't be bothered to vote for him or migrated to Mihailu. That's pretty poor performance, really. And what you have going on here, as you mentioned, this is a balkanized party and always has been. There are different factions in opposition to each other. Some are just off freelancing, doing their own thing. Democratic headquarters, which is supposed to try to wrangle all these cats, instead right now, under its new chair, Jeremy Zellner, who is a protege of Len Linehan, seems to be shrinking. And those factions are farther apart than ever before.
Outside of ideology, are we seeing an opportunity by the Republicans to take advantage of that?
Absolutely. And I think countywide, outside the city, which will remain solidly Democratic, if the Democratic Party can't find some way, if Jeremy Zellner can't find some way to bring everyone to the table and agree to work together for Democratic candidates like Mike Amodeo, like David Schenk, then you'll see Republicans making gains. Right now, you have both the comptroller and the Erie County clerk are both Republicans. Of course, Poloncar is a Democrat, is county executive, but you know our previous two county executives were Republicans, and I promise you, Stefan Mihailu is not going to be satisfied with the county comptroller job.
So we could see some real competition down the road.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And you know, the thing is, the evidence that the party, the Democratic Party, is more split, more factionalized now than it was even a year ago or 2 years ago or 10 years ago, is that rather than sort of scratching their heads and trying to figure out what went wrong with Schenk and Amodeo and Hochul, the factions in opposition to each other are almost gloating over those losses and pointing and saying, this is evidence that you guys don't know what you're doing. We should be the ones running the party. That sort of divisiveness, you can bet Republicans are going to jump all over that.
It's interesting that the Democrats for so long have had such a lock just on voter numbers and the fact that they haven't had to be so unified. But the fact that they're so separated now, so broken apart, is beginning to show some clear weakness.
Yeah, it's not simply that they're not helping one another. It's that they're actively undermining each other's candidates.
So there's been some advancement with Give for Greatness, at least a change. We have Kathleen Gaffney.
That's right. We have a new executive director over at Give for Greatness, the campaign to raise money for cultural and arts organizations that Art Voice started. It's really its own thing, which we're very proud of it, and we're still sort of affiliated. But yes, Kathleen Gaffney, the last executive director of Studio Arena, is now executive director of Give for Greatness.
And what does she bring to the table for the future?
A lot of experience running arts organizations and arts support organizations in other communities, and a great familiarity with the arts community and cultural community in Western New York. A lot of administrative experience, a lot of fundraising experience. And that, after all, is what we're trying to do, is raise money to bolster and support our, you know, exuberant arts and cultural community.
Well, we wish her well in her new post. And, of course, we always hope the best for Give for Greatness.
Yeah, thank you.
Jeff, thanks for coming by.
My pleasure, always.
Thanks.